Most of you, I would encourage you to take your Bibles and your sermon notes, and there will be several other scriptures that I'll be referring to that are not in your sermon notes. You'll want to write down and have that. We're in the midst of this series called Life in the Church, discovering the church as the place to be, to believe, to belong, and to become. And we're going to be using the passages of scripture of two letters that Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. I would challenge you to read the first five chapters of the book of 1 Thessalonians. And if you read the first five, you've read the entire book of 1 Thessalonians, okay? You could do chapter 1 on Monday, chapter 2 on Tuesday. And as you do that, one of the things you could do is to say, where do I see these ideas of believing and belonging and becoming, and the church is a place to be? Last week, we were looking at the Thessalonica church and said that the church is the place to be, a place of acceptance. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another just as God in Christ accepted you. And when Jesus came to earth and the Word, God himself became flesh, he dwelt among us. The Message paraphrase says that he moved into our neighborhood. But it should grab our attention how Jesus responded to those around him. Everyone felt welcomed in his presence. The Pharisees would come. For example, Nicodemus came at night and he had questions. He was an honest and sincere seeker. So what did Jesus do? He invited him in. He sat, Nicodemus sit and said, what are your questions? And Nicodemus said, we know you're from God, because no one can do the things you're doing unless God was with him. And Jesus told him three times in that passage, you have to be born again. And it was out of that conversation that we have the most familiar scripture in all the world, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, what church? Whoever believes in him. We're going to talk about the church being a place of belief today. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. A few weeks ago, Pastor Rosvan talked to us about the woman at the well. She was not a Jew. She was considered a half-breed. Jews didn't refer to them. And so Jesus radically went beyond the social and economic and geographical borders of his time and had conversations with people that others wouldn't have. One day he was just doing ministry, and we find this in Matthew chapter 9, and he looked at the crowds that were coming to him, and he was filled with compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were harassed and they were helpless. So it didn't matter whether you were Jew or not. It didn't matter whether you were religious or not. He met with tax collectors and sinners, it tells us. Jesus was the place to be. And if the body of Christ, the church, is going to be like Jesus, we're going to invite people. And so I would just remind you, if you're here today and you don't have a relationship yet with Jesus Christ, we are glad that you are here and you are welcome. You are in the right place, because this is the place to explore faith and to study the claims of God. Of course, it's our prayer that you would come across and step into faith in him. But it's okay if you're doubting. Listen, Jesus never turned away an honest seeker. And today we're going to see that once you have acceptance, Jesus' acceptance never brought approval. He didn't say, I'm gonna take you as you are and I'll just tolerate your sin. He loved us enough to tell us the truth and loved us enough to tell us the truth so we could become the people that God designed us to be. And if you're going to be the person that God designed you to be, you're going to have to do things God's way and not your way. We'll get there later in the month. But today, let's talk about belief. You know, it's not enough that you believe in God. People, it's not enough that you're religious. It's not enough that you want to do well. Jesus said it's not enough to believe, but what you believe is the critical thing. Because if you place your belief, if you place your faith in the wrong things, those things are going to let you down. In that same chapter with Nicodemus, when Jesus said, whoever believes in me will not perish but have everlasting life, in John 3:36, here's what Jesus says. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And whoever rejects the Son will not see life. Was Jesus a good man? Yes, he was. But he was more than a good man. He was God in the flesh. Speaking the truth, he said later, no one comes to the Father but through me. Not all roads lead to God. Jesus is the only way. You have to place your faith in what Jesus did for you. In fact, he says, whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. And this is throughout the Gospels. Just in John 5:24, Jesus tells the crowd there, I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message, and here it is, and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. And a few verses down, verse 38, he looked at the religious leaders of his day. These were good, moral people. He says, and you do not have his message in your hearts because you do not believe me, the one he has sent me. Here's what Jesus is saying. You can be a stellar member of a church and not have eternal life. You could be a board member, you could be a Sunday school teacher, you could be a pastor, and not have a relationship with Christ, because you have to, by faith, believe in what Jesus did and that he died for our sins and receive him. Listen, religion comes from a word means to bind again. That's what religion does, and that's why Jesus came to offer us a relationship. In fact, John, the writer of the Gospel of John, recorded the words of Jesus we just read here in John 3 and John 5, says in John 20, 31, these things are written. This gospel was written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life. And Sandra mentioned at the opening of our service today, if you confess with your mouth, and what do you do with your heart? Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, you will be saved. See, Jesus says it's what you believe that's important, not just that you believe in a God, but do you believe in the one true God? And in Luke 18:8, Jesus said it's so important. He goes, when the Son of Man returns, when I come back, will I find faith? Will I find people believing and holding on to my word? See, I believe that the Bible teaches us throughout that the church that Jesus set up, the church that he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overpower it, is not only the place to be where we are the place that people ought to bring their questions and their hurts and their struggles and stuff, but we're the place to talk about, here's what we believe. See, the church is the pillar and support of the truth, is what Paul wrote in to Timothy. And the church is the place to inspire faith because, we're going to look at four things here, it is a place of discovery. It's a place of discovery. And discovery takes place when I take in the Word of God. When I take the Word of God into my life, I learned a long time ago, if you get into the Word, then the Word of God will get into you. And you see this, and as Paul wrote the church in Thessalonica, therefore, we never stop thanking God when you received his message from us. You didn't think of it as words of mere human ideas. You accepted it as it was, the very Word of God, which of course it is. And notice this, and this word continues to work in you who what? Who believe. To those that believe. See, here's what we believe. This is God's truth right here. We don't really discover truth on our own. It is revealed to us by the Spirit of God. That's why in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus asked Peter, and the disciples, who do people say that I am? And they said a lot of good things about Jesus. He's a good man. He's a prophet. Elijah come back to life, all those things. But he says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here's what Jesus said. Peter, you're blessed because you didn't come up with that on your own. It was my Father in heaven who revealed that to you. See, the Word of God teaches us that this book is living and active. It is able to speak into your life, and it's able to transform your life. It's what Steve Anderson, as he was given the announcements, talked about, the transformation and the renewing of your mind and of your heart. That's what the Word of God will do in your life. See, Jesus said to take in the Word of God. As he prayed for us, not only did he pray for his disciples, but he prayed for everyone that would follow him. In John 17:17, here's what he says. Father, set them apart in truth. Your word is truth. And the fact is that God has given to his body, the church, people that are gifted, from teachers to evangelists to prophets to preachers. that can communicate the word of God. It is a gift of God. And it tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that he gives them those gifts to equip the saints for the work of service so that you can become the person that God has meant you to be. And as you all rally around the truth, as the church rallies around the truth, we will speak the truth in love and we will grow up into all aspects into Christ. Listen, a huge part of your spiritual development, in fact, I would be so bold as to say it this way, that some of the most important spiritual growth you'll ever have in your life will come in your relationship with the body of Christ, the church. It ought to take priority in your life. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. I've always loved the quote by D.L. Moody, who God used greatly within the church to shape. It's one of the reasons we, the church in America, has Sunday school today is because of D.L. Moody. He knew how important it was to teach children the word of God. And he wrote, I prayed for faith and thought someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith did not seem to come. And one day I read in the 10th chapter of Romans, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. I had up to this time closed my Bible and prayed for faith. And now I open my Bible and begin to study. And faith has been growing ever since. Listen, I am glad you are here today. I'm glad that some of you are taking notes. In fact, probably the most of you are taking notes. But listen, you've got to make sure that you're just not just taking in and putting it down on paper. You need to take it into your life. You need to apply it. We as a church have a mission that we're going to raise up a community of believers, build a community of believers who honor Jesus Christ in their daily life. And the only way you can honor Jesus Christ in your daily life is if you apply the word of God to your life. That's why I often use the pulpit to say, you need to be involved in a life connection. It's not just a good idea. You need to be involved in Bible study. You need to be in community with other believers. It doesn't just have to be a Bible study that's from this church, but you need to be, if there's Christian Women's Club or other studies that you could do, you need to engage with other believers and purposely be taken in the Word of God. Why? It's because the Word of God that changes people's lives. It's why every Sunday your message, your sermon notes are filled with Scripture. Is because ultimately that's what you need to take out of this. It's not any illustration. It's not how it's presented. It's the Word of God that will change your life. Take in the Word of God. It's a place of discovery also for this reason. It's through the church that you come under the influence of godly people. Now, in our world, we can come under the influence of a lot of different things. We have any number of things, and sometimes we don't realize the things that we're coming under the influence is. But the Bible teaches throughout, from Old Testament to New, things like Proverbs 13:20, that if you want to be a wise person, you walk with the wise, for a company of fools will fall into trouble. And Paul says the church is the body of Christ, imperfect people, all needing forgiveness, but people that have their hearts set to grow. And God will use other people to speak into your life. Here's what he says in 1 Thessalonians 2:8. We love you so much that we shared with you not only the good news, but our own lives too. You yourselves are witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward you believers. And you know how we treated each of you like a father treats his own children. Earlier he says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, and you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering and joy given by the Holy Spirit. And you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Let me ask you, who's your spiritual mentor? Who's your coach? Someone that has a right to speak into your life and say, hey, you did a great job on that, but let me tell you this one area of your life that you need to be working in. Are you in community like that with other believers of Christ? Because that's God's desire. Who are your role models? Who are your heroes? I shared, and a lot of this is not just sitting down in a formal thing, but observing what was happening. I remember when my son Jake was about a sophomore or so, and I realized in a couple years he was going to be graduating. And what I had observed on that is that there was a couple in our church that I felt like they launched their children well. In fact, to this day, they still launch their children well. And I observed what they did. Occasionally, I would ask them certain questions about what they were doing. I would just hear, tell me about what your kids. And I said, God, help me to be that kind of parent who launches my kid and releases them to go take on the world with Christ in their heart. Listen, you have godly examples around you. There's some sitting around in here right now. Imperfect people have scars, bumps, warts, all those kind of stuff. but people whose heart is set upon God. And you need to surround yourself with those kind of individuals. Read good people. Sometimes you'll hear and say, read good, solid books. You know, I mentioned D.L. Moody earlier. Your faith would be encouraged by reading some autobiographies or biographies of some of leaders of years gone by. Let's go on. You also not only want to come under the influence of godly people, but you also want to put into practice what you're learning. In fact, when we talk about discovering what God has for your life and the areas that he wants to do, there comes a point in our life where we have to implement what we know, or we're not going to learn much more. We'll just become a commentator rather than a participator in the body of Christ. Here's what Paul says: "Brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord to live in a way that pleases God as you have been taught. You live this way already, but we encourage you to do so even more." In other words, be diligent, exercise discipline, keep that want to, that fire in you, because ultimately it's not what you know, it's what you do with what you know. How do you apply it? It takes humility. You know, the most difficult person to coach is the one who always knows everything. And they're quick to tell you. You know, when you're correcting somebody and you say, "Hey, when you're doing that, here's what I want you." "I know." "Well, just hear me out." "I know." "Well, in this particular," "I know." "Well, I know you know, but you're not doing it. So be quiet." And then sometimes they might be quiet, but they still don't listen to you. Listen, it's not what you know, it's what you apply in life. In fact, Jesus said it this way. He said, the difference between someone living a wise life and living the life of a fool is whether they put into practice what they've heard. They can hear the same message, but what are you going to do with what you've been taught? And so when you're in a Bible study, when you're in a sermon, a good question to ask is, what am I going to do with what I've just been taught? Is there an area of my life that I need to address, that I need to kind of just tweak a little bit? Is there someone that I need to encourage? Is there someone in my life that I see that is kind of drifting, and I want to come, I need to be that coach for them? Each one helping the other. James wrote in James chapter 1, it's in your notes, "Get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls." Don't just listen to God's word. You must, here it is, you must do what it says. Put it into practice. "Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves." You know, some people are really good at fooling other people, but they don't realize sometimes who they're really fooling is themselves, and that is tragic. Some people are gifted at fooling other people, but when you fool yourself, that's tragic. "If you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself and you walk away and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law, it sets you free." And notice this, "and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard," what will God do? He'll bless you for doing it. The church is a place of discovery. The church is also a place of development. Development is processing the growth in our life. See, it's great that you've come. If you've come to know Christ, that is wonderful. You get to Christ not on your effort. You don't get to heaven because you love God. You get to heaven because God loved you and he gave his son for your sin and for mine. And so if we accept that, we have heaven as our home. But that's not the end all. We are to grow. We're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God gave us the church to develop our hearts so we can present to God, because every one of us will give an account to God for what we've done with what he's given us. And Paul says, "We sent Timothy to you." Again, the Thessalonian church was under severe persecution from the very get-go. They continued throughout their experience. And so Paul says, "We sent Timothy, he's our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming you the good news. And we didn't send him just to say, 'How you doing?' We sent him with purpose to strengthen you and to encourage you in your faith and to keep you from being shaken by your troubles." Because that's what life will do to you. It'll make you question what you believe at times. Now, last Sunday afternoon, there was a baby shower for Casey Newland. And I heard a lot of people this week, about four or five, speaking about how wonderful that shower was, and it didn't have anything to do with the gifts. And ladies, if you were there, by the way, none of us men are asking to come to showers, okay? Just know that. But I wish I could have been at this one. Because what I heard the ladies talking about is that Casey continued to share what a difference that God had done in her life. See, the Casey and Dustin's story is that just a little under 2 years ago, they were headed for divorce. They didn't have any hope in their life. And they came into interaction, someone from their church, from our church at work had encouraged them and had loved on them. And then they came and they met for counseling with it. And it was through those counseling appointments that they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior in my office. But they didn't leave it there. They got plugged into the church. And if you talk to Dustin and Casey today, they said, we never realized that all this was available. And here's what happened. It was not an orchestration. Someone came up to Dustin and they just said, God's laid you on my heart. And I would like to just do some Bible reading. It wasn't a pastor. It was just one of our lay people. And they met with Dustin and sometimes with Casey and that. Now they're helping in Route 56. And here almost two years later, they're as enthused about God as they were when they first had the forgiveness of their sins. Listen, that's what the church is about. And they aren't the only stories. There's some people here, and I can look at them over here. They didn't have any religious background, didn't know about Christ, or maybe they did, but it was nothing like what they're experiencing now. And they can see that God made a difference in their life, and their life is being transformed, and their mind being renewed because they have plugged in, and they've seen the church as a place of development. Here's what Paul said. We prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children, having such a fond affection for you. And you were well pleased to impart with you not only the gospel, but also our own lives because you became very dear to us. So he gives the image of a mom. And here's the things we know about moms. A mom's life is a life of sacrifice. And it begins at conception because she gives up her body so that other life can come. And then after that baby is born, the mother nourishes from her body that child. He said, that's what it's like. That's why if you know Jesus Christ and your life's, you're ready for a home, why you need to be involved in the church is because we need to care for others that are still in the developmental stages. And then he says, you know, as a father, we are exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. A father needs to provide and protect and encourage. He's a giver. He's willing to lay down his life for his family. So Paul says things to the church of Thessalonica. He doesn't just say, hey, lick your wounds. I know it's hard. And just keep the faith until Jesus comes and kind of keep you safe till the storm passes. He says instead to the church, you warn those who are idle and disruptive. You encourage the disheartened. Help the weak and be patient with everyone. Josh McDowell wrote, when it comes to my salvation, all I need is Jesus. And after my salvation, everything is Jesus plus the church. When people preach that all you need is Jesus, they cut you off from one of the greatest sources of healing, which is the body of Christ. Don't go it alone. You won't make it. The church is not only a place of development and a place of discovery, it's a place of decision. Some of your greatest decisions as a follower of Christ will be in your relationship to church. Whether you move out of yourself will many times be made by the decisions that you make in church. Will you ever step forward in faith and say, I'll teach a Sunday school class? Will you ever get and say, I will go to that Bible study? I will get out of my shell. I will deny myself and all my fears and inhibitions. I'll actually just go ahead and kick the tires and see what Celebrate Recovery is about. Will you do it? Those are all decisions that you make. And I just tell you, there's a number of decisions that will change the course of your life. Perhaps the most of the people here today stood in a church before a man or a woman of God, and they made a decision to take their life mate and said, till death do us part. It's a major decision in your life, and it changes the course of your life. Listen, the church is a place that you ought to make decisions. It's great that you have decided to follow Jesus, but every decision you make after that will either support that decision or take away from that decision. Bob Ketterman has told my family, if two frogs are sitting on a lily pad and one of them decides to jump off, how many are on the lily pad? There's still two, because all he decided was to, he just made the decision to jump. He didn't actually jump, okay? So it's great that you decided to follow Jesus, but here's the question, are you following Jesus? By the way, how many of you have seen the movie Overcomer? Okay, see several people here, it's a good movie. There's a great part of the movie that talks about this very theme. You can kind of, you talk to somebody else that raised their hand there, and is a movie worth going to, you can ask about it, and I would say it is. It's a great movie, it's a great conversation for it, and you can be inspired in that. But listen, your decisions will decide the direction of your life. Paul said, you decided to follow Jesus, and you followed that decision up. They turned to God from idols, and they decided to serve a living and true God. Let me ask you, where do you turn for answers? What do you turn to when life gets stressful? Do you withdraw? Do you turn to something else? Do you medicate your pain? Who do you call? The main influences of your life will determine the direction of your life. Someone told me after the first service, actually the husband told me, then the wife said, this is what they always said. If you run with skunks, don't be surprised if you smell like a skunk. Okay? That's the way it happens. Bad company corrupts good morals. And 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us before that, don't be misled. What's saying? Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. You run with the wrong people, and you're going to be corrupted. It'll corrupt your character. Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him deny themselves, be humble, take up their cross. And in Luke 9:23, it says, take up your cross daily. We want to honor Jesus Christ in our daily lives. Not just said, I want my life to, it's the daily decisions that you make. You'll decide the decision of your life, guess what? You'll also decide the depth of your life, how deep you will go with God. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as your love also overflows. May he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ with all his holy people. It tells us in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, just as you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, now let your roots grow down deep into him and be firmly established. You get to decide how far you go with God. So daily commit, trust in him with all of your heart. And this morning we have a mom and dad who have experienced themselves these truths that they're exploring, that we are exploring. Landon and Elena Lampkin have each personally placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Each was raised in a family where Christ was welcome and the church was important in their family life. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, they have trusted the Lord's leading in their lives, and the church continues to have a huge part in unfolding of God's plan in their lives now as a married couple. And that plan led them to marriage. It led them to North Central Kansas, and as they continue to pursue God and live out a life of faith, God has now blessed them with a son. And they pray that their son discovers the love of Christ. He will experience it. Their greatest joy will be as he develops in the faith and as he makes decisions that impact his life. And so today I'm going to invite the Lampkins to come up with their parents, and they want to dedicate before the church family their son, Micah Stephen Kelly Lampkin. You see there on the left as a newborn on June the 10th, 7 pounds and 7 ounces, and the 3-month strapping young man that he is becoming right now. And I'm going to ask you to step up here where everyone can kind of see you. Landon and Elena, you know why God delights in children. You've experienced a new level of love when you brought Micah into your home. And God takes pleasure in them. In Proverbs 127:3 says, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from him. And because children are a gift from God, it is fitting that Christian parents present and dedicate their child to God. In the Gospels, we read that people brought their little children and babies to Jesus that he might place his hands on them and bless them. And in the same way, you come here before the church to have your son Micah dedicated to the Lord and to his service. And by bringing your son for dedication today, you give testimony to your personal faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and your desire that your son receive the benefits and consecration to God, the prayers of the church, and that he may at an early age learn to love and follow God as his own. There's no higher calling than to raise the son whom God has given you in the way of the Lord. And God will have increased influence upon his life as you keep the doors of your life open to him. It is your responsibility to receive Micah from God's hand and to teach him to know and to love God, and working in obedience to God's will to help in the unfolding of his life. It is from your example he will learn to pray. He will learn the way of obedience, of loving discipline, of service and fellowship with Christ. It is your home that will be the primary place he'll experience the love of God. Through your instruction, your love, your life, and faith, his heart will be shaped to become a man of integrity, humility, confidence, and filled with joy. So love God with all your being. Continue to grow your love for God with every ounce and fiber of your being, and teach your son to do the same. As you love God and each other, you will model before your family a wonderful love for God that Michael will want for himself. And working in cooperation with God, the day will come that Micah knows in his own heart the scriptures that you have prayed over his life and claim it as his own. That scripture is up on the screen now. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? So Landon and Elena, do you now promise before God to raise your son Micah in the way of Christ through your instructions, love, discipline, training, and example? If so, say we do.
We do.
Will you pray for and with Micah for his spiritual growth in the knowledge of God, and will you read with him God's holy word and teach his commandments in your daily lives? And will you do all you can to lead him at a proper age to profess faith in Jesus Christ? If so, say, we will. Micah, Stephen, Kelly Lampkin, I now dedicate you to the Lord and to his service. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Father God, the hands of Jesus held babies, and he blessed them. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the home that you placed Micah in. Lord, we pray that you would give Elena and Landon incredible discernment, wisdom, and a desire to trust you. Would you show yourself strong in their parenting? May those that watch this family have reason to say, what is it that makes them so strong, so effective? And Father, as Micah is living a world of discovery right now, as his body continues to grow, I pray that you would grant him favor in the eyes of God and the eyes of man. And I pray that your hand would be strong upon his life, that it would be evident that he is wise beyond his years, and that his heart would turn to you and lead many other people in that path as well. Jesus, we thank you. And we thank you for his name that means who is like God. Father, thank you for his life in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Land and Elena have been blessed with parents that have prayed for them, that counsel them, continue to support them. And by the way, grandparents are here back in the back. Would you wave to us there? And then, of course, a lot of the Elstroms are here. Wave to everybody, okay? Yeah, all right. But Steve and April and Kelly and Jerry, you have seen your grandson dedicated to the Lord, and will you promise to continue to lift them up in prayer, to pray for them, to support them, and do whatever you can to help them follow through on this commitment? If so, say we do. Yeah. And you as a church family, will you continue? Will you promise to pray for them? Will you pray for Micah 6:8, that Micah would always walk humbly with his God, that he would be strong in doing justice, and that he would love kindness, that you would provide the teaching and the students and the teachers, rather, and support them in this commitment? If so, will you say we do? Let's pray. Father God, thank you once again for what an example that you would have us all follow. Father, I thank you that in addition to our prayers, that the Spirit of God himself is interceding on behalf according to your perfect will for this family. And so, Father, we release them to do the things you have called them to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I thank you for Steve and April, for Kelly, and for Jerry. And I pray and I thank you for their influence upon this family's life. May the generations that follow walk in this path as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? The church is the place to believe. And you better count on it. Micah's life will be different because he has a mom and dad that are committed to not only in their home life, but to have the support of a church family that says, we want to grow our faith. We want to discover what God has for us. We want to make decisions that follow. We want to develop our life and continue to grow. And lastly, let me share, we'll walk real quickly through this. The church is a place of determination. Listen, it's great if that's all the church was, but listen, sometimes you're going to get hurt in the church. You're going to be disillusioned. You're going to be disappointed in the church because guess what? The church is full of people like you. And we're imperfect people. There's no person that has come to Christ that was perfect. And the church is filled with imperfect people. And sometimes I hear this and I say, you know, the church is full of hypocrites. And I kind of say jokingly, yeah, I saw three last week, you know. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. There's more hypocrites out in the world. There's more people that say they believe in God and aren't doing anything about it. They're not growing. They're not trying to explore faith. They're not having any questions. You ask them, what is it they don't believe about God? Well, I've never read the Bible. Well, come on. Listen, God calls us to live authentic lives. Listen, the church is a place of determination. Four things here to protect my heart. Your heart's going to get hurt. And you have to protect your life, and God has called you to live a holy life. Even when you're hurt, you're supposed to make the right decisions. You can't do that without the support of God, the power of God, and the support of people around you that love you and will hold you accountable. Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for it will determine the course of your life. What you let reside in your heart will take root in your heart. So if you got bitterness, you're going to become a bitter person. If you have unforgiveness in your life, you're going to become an unloving person. You don't mean to. But listen, you got to pay attention to what's in your heart and what grabs your attention. Protect your heart. You've got to have people around you. Listen, you have blind spots, and I have blind spots. That's why you need to be in community with people and people that love you enough to tell you the truth. People that will not let you stay who you are right now because you're going to become who God has called you to be. It's a place that determines to strengthen my faith when life hurts. Notice how the times, I've underlined it for you, how many times of brothers and sisters, he's talking about in community. Listen, here's what we want to do with our hurts. We want to ignore them, or we want to say, I'm not hurt. They didn't hurt bad. We don't attend to the wounds of our life. Listen, you got to attend to your wounds. What you can't talk about controls your life. You're as sick as your secrets. And so you don't have to tell everyone. You don't need to come up here and give a microphone, but you need to tell a few people that care about you some of your hurts. One of the things I love about Celebrate Recovery, you hear me talk about it a lot, because it is the place to be, believe, belong, and become. It is a process for spiritual growth. It uses these same principles. And here's how we start. Every time that we get ready to share, I'm a grateful follower of Jesus Christ, and I struggle with, and you put out your laundry list. Or I celebrate recovery from, and I'm here because I need to maintain this, and I need to do it in community. Listen, it's a place where you can explore faith, but also you can develop your faith and not stay the way that you are. The church helps me strengthen my faith when it hurts. Here's what I've learned. You can have hope. And even and we do have hope, but when you have hope, life still hurts. Hurting with hope still hurts. And so here Paul is talking about people that, you know, they have a sense of loss. Someone has left them and they're wondering now, well, Christ didn't return yet, and he's gone. He goes, I want you to, you grieve, cry, go ahead and cry. Have people that cry with you. But don't cry and don't grieve like people who don't have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring him back with the believers who have died. Thirdly, it's a place of determination because you're going to develop godly habits and abandon unproductive ones. That give and take. Get rid of, put on. Get rid of, put on. Brothers and sisters, we urge you, warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. Get rid of those, abandon those unproductive habits. But always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this God is God's will for you who belong to Christ. Put on some healthy habits, some godly habits. And lastly, hold on to what is true. Listen, you don't know really what you believe until what you believe is all you've got to hold on to. And I tell you, life has a way of sorting out what we really are basing our life upon. Am I right? What are you going to hang on to when everything else falls apart? And Paul says, hold on to what is good. Persevere in the faith. The church is a place to be, believe, and become. And I pray, and I hope that you'll make it your prayer. And more than that, I pray that you will act upon that prayer and get engaged within the body of Christ so that you can say, Concordia Wesleyan Church is a place to believe, because it's a place to have your faith reinforced, your love restored, and your hope renewed. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word in Ephesians chapter 3. This is now to him who is able to do abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. To him be glory in the church, both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.